the confusion between forgiveness and reconciliation has truly hindered a lot of us from walking in true forgiveness. And there is no genuine repentance. I'm going to be real with you. You might as well end the conversation here. There's no point. There is no reconciliation without repentance.
Call me, don't bang with it, don't make it aside.
Hey you, welcome to The Well. I'm Lois Shonokan, and I'm excited to have you join me here for another episode of The Well. So last week we talked about how to easily forgive anyone. If you didn't catch that video, click the link and go ahead and watch it because it was amazing. But today I want to focus on something that I feel like a lot of people get confused about. So I'm going to be talking about forgiveness versus reconciliation. And I'm going to be talking about four steps that you need to take before you reconcile with anyone. Let's dive in. There is a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Forgiveness does not always mean reconciliation. And I feel like the confusion between forgiveness and reconciliation has truly hindered a lot of us from walking in true forgiveness. Like I mentioned last week, forgiveness is always a must for every believer. There's no if, but, or and. Like, it's a requirement for all of us as believers in Jesus Christ. And for us as believers, reconciliation should always be the goal. It's not a must, but it should always be the goal. So forgiveness only takes one person, you. You forgive people no matter how they act, you know, whether they deserve it or not, whether they apologize or not, whether they repented or not. We are required to forgive no matter what. However, reconciliation takes two. Two cannot walk together unless they agree. So I want to start by reading Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 17. It says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." Like I mentioned before, as believers, our goal should always be reconciliation. Our goal should always be to try our best to try to reconcile relationship. Reconciliation is the essence of our faith. The Bible says that while we're still his enemies, Jesus gave his life for us just to reconcile us with God. And as believers, we have been given the same mandate to reconcile the world, to reconcile people back to God. If you're a believer, you're called into the ministry of reconciliation. And it's not just to those that are lost in the world, but it's also to those that offend and sin against us. Galatians 6 verse 1 says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." And even though as believers, reconciliation should always be our goal, as we've seen in scripture, it's not all situation that reconciliation should even be pursued. I would never advise or pursue reconciliation with someone that has committed a violent crime, you know, against another person, or a sexual crime against somebody, molestation or incest. It's not wise to pursue reconciliation with that kind of person. And even if they repented and you've forgiven them, it's still not safe or wise to put yourself and to put your loved ones in that kind of situation. So today I want to talk about biblical steps that must be taken before you reconcile with anybody. Let's dive in. Step number one, there has to be forgiveness. There is no reconciliation without forgiveness. I'm reminded about the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph dealt with the worst kind of betrayal. See, it's one thing for you to be betrayed by a friend, for you to be, you know, hurt by an associate, you know, but when you are betrayed by your own blood, by your own flesh and blood, it's another level. I feel like Joseph's story is so significant because throughout his life, he not only was he betrayed by his brothers, but he went through betrayal after betrayal. He went through trauma after trauma, but God gave him the grace to forgive. And he ended up being promoted to being the second most powerful person in the most powerful nation at that time. And I'm convinced that if he hadn't passed that forgiveness test, if he was still holding on to the hurt, to the bitterness, and how his brother did him wrong, he would have never been promoted to where he ended up being. He would have never seen that promotion. As believers, we are called to forgive by faith, even when our emotions are not in alignment. Step number two, before there can be true reconciliation, there has to be prayer and self-reflection. We need to ask God to search our heart. And honestly, we need to examine ourselves, you know, and search our own self to really see our contribution to the situation. A lot of times it's easier for us to see how somebody wronged us, how they, you know, betrayed us, how they did us wrong. But sometimes it's hard for us to see the role that we play in the situation. So we really need to examine our own contribution in the situation. Could I have reacted better? Was my attitude Christ-like? Did I handle that situation the way that Jesus would want me to handle it? Matthew 7, verse 3 to 5 says, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eyes, but do not notice the log that is in your own eyes? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eyes,' when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eyes, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eyes." See, it's so much more easier for us to see the speck, to see the wrong that somebody is doing, to see the mistake that's glaring around them, than for us to see ourselves. So we need to go into prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal our own part, to help us, you know, pray about, not just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal your part, but just pray about the process of reconciliation. You know, ask God to help you, ask God to lead you, and ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen you. Step number three, confrontation and repentance. A lot of us do not like confrontation, but for there to be true reconciliation, there has to be confrontation and repentance. You cannot skip this step, but it's very important to make sure that when you're confronting the situation, that you approach this person and you approach the situation from a place of love, not a place of accusation. And honestly, it's better to start that confrontation by acknowledging and asking for forgiveness for your part, for the part that you play in the situation to begin with. Maybe your part is little, but start by acknowledging and asking for forgiveness for the part that you played in the situation. Then give the other person a chance to respond without being defensive. You know, give them a chance to talk without jumping at their throat. Once you clarify any misunderstanding they may have, or, you know, give them a chance to repent. You've already repented, but give the other person a chance to repent. But if there is no genuine repentance, I'm going to be real with you. You might as well end the conversation here. There's no point. There is no reconciliation without repentance. We are not required as believers to reconcile with somebody that is not willing to change their behavior. It's not healthy, it's not safe, and it's not wise. In Genesis chapter 42, before Joseph revealed himself to his brother, before he could reconcile with them, he tested them. He had overheard them, you know, repenting for what they have done. He had overheard them having a conversation, you know, about what they had done to him. And he also test them by asking them to leave their last born, Benjamin, to see how they were going to react, to see if they would even come back. That was Joseph testing them to see if they've had a change of heart. So there is no reconciliation if the person is set in their ways. There has to be a genuine change of heart and action. See, Joseph saw that in his brothers, and that was why he revealed himself to them. That was why he chose to reconcile with them. And the final step, step number four, there has to be an agreement. After confrontation and repentance, you have to come to an agreement and discuss the way forward. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, "Can two walk together unless they agree?" You cannot reconcile without an agreement. If an agreement cannot be made, then like the Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, involve people that knows and love you both, you know, somebody that it could be your church pastor, your church leader. It could be somebody that you both love and respect that doesn't take sides. Involve, do everything in your power to come to an agreement. Do everything in your power to reconcile. I want to read that scripture again in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 17. It says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Let him be to you as a heathen and a tax collector. Like I mentioned before, as believers, reconciliation should always be the goal. But there is no reconciliation without confrontation. There is no reconciliation without repentance, and there is no reconciliation without agreement. And as the scripture says, when you've done everything in your own power to try to reconcile, you know, you've involved the right people, you've gone out of your way, as long as you make sure you're forgiving them, like the Bible says, let them be like an heathen or a tax collector. It means you have no obligation to continue to associate with them. I pray that this Bible study has really opened your eyes. I pray that it opened your heart. And I hope that the message was clear, that as believers, we are required to forgive everyone, but we're not required to reconcile. Reconciliation should be the goal when it's safe, you know? Reconciliation should be the goal when it's safe for you physically and when it's safe for those around you. But reconciliation is not required. Thank you so much for watching this episode. If this blessed you, leave a comment. I want to hear your thoughts. Share your thoughts. And also, don't forget to press the subscribe button. Don't forget to press the like button. And don't forget to press that notification button so that you do not miss our next episode. Thank you for watching. Bye.
Coffee dog, baby, the dog, me, the side.